If we can just tell us about your son in happier times, who was he? What was his personality like? What did he like to do? You know, long before he got to BG, just tell us about Stone.
He was, you know, the oldest of three. There was a big difference between him and his younger sister. There's 10 years. I always thought of him as my mother hen because he took care of his younger brother and sister. And he did everything that we always asked. He played sports in high school. He played lacrosse, basketball. Just a lot of good stories about him.
At the funeral services, I talked about Stone and explained to everyone that he was a hero. You know, little things like when he was, let's say, 10 years old, 12 years old, his brother would get scared at night. He'd let his brother come in and sleep in his room. So he was just showing little signs then of being a hero. After the funeral services, we received a message from one of his high school student friends. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read it to you, but I want to keep the person's name anonymous.
She was a year older than Stone, so graduated a year older than Stone. I received this last week.
So they had wrote, "Hi, I know you don't know me, but I was a year ahead of Stone at Buckeye Valley. I couldn't bring myself to go to his funeral because not many people know that I was friends with him. But I wanted to let you know that even though his life was cut short, he did a lot of good during it. He is one of the reasons I am still alive today. He stood up for me when I was being severely bullied in high school. He was one of three people at Buckeye Valley that was by my side with everything I went through. I cannot even begin to imagine what you're going through right now. And I am praying for you and your family every night. Just know that he had a hand in saving my life when I was about to give up. He is a hero."
Did you guys receive that after the funeral?
Yeah.
Just amazing. Stone touched everyone. I mean, he really did. He touched everyone.
What was his personality like? Did he like to joke around? Was he what was his laugh like?
His laugh was contagious, and his smile was contagious. That's the biggest thing you'll hear from everyone is his smile.
So before March 4th, do you have any direct knowledge of him telling you or any information that he was being hazed or was engaged in rituals or?
So I have a text between him and I that he said he was listing out what he had to do. He sent me a thing Wednesday night, that's what it was, that he was bored, was asking shows on Netflix, and that he was just going to hang out in the room. And I joked with him. I said, "Well, you can always study." And so he was asking for some TV shows, and that's when Corey had sent him one to watch. And he then listed out, he said, "Thursday I have to do," he goes, "I have a frat thing and it's a drinking ritual and I don't want to do it." And so I replied back and I said, "Okay, well then don't do it. You know you don't have to do it." I said, "That just sounds stupid. Why do you have to go drink?" He said, it's a ritual. And then of course, you know, I said, you know, be smart about it. He said, "Yeah, I will." And I never in a million years thought to myself that it would be this. I mean, I had no clue. I had no idea. I wouldn't have joked around with him if I knew it was going to be that severe. I mean, they don't tell you anything about this in the pledge book. There's nothing. I don't think he knew the severity of it and what was done to him. And at that point, you know, the peer pressure and the point of feeling you belong and you're already sucked into it. I mean, and knowing those kids and those young men from high school and knowing them, I mean, that had to have added a whole new level of pressure onto him to feel included and to not back out of it. And I'm sure he had no clue what the end result was, or he was told, you know, he wasn't going to be left alone.
It's unfortunate Stone didn't have a choice. Stone was making a commitment, just like any sports team, that he was going to join this fraternity. obviously we can see that they were making fun of him, of his TikTok videos. So in his mind, if he would back out of the fraternity and not want to join, what do you think would have happened? Exact same thing. They would have made fun of him. And then he'd be the guy on the campus that backed out from a fraternity. Stone never had a choice. The campus, the university, the fraternities, the national fraternity, they need to understand that these kids don't have a choice. And it's not going to change until they step to the plate.
For you guys to be able to donate Stone's organs, I don't know. I've talked with some organ donors before, or families of them, and the idea of still allowing their family member to live on in someone else. Mm-hmm. What has that experience been like for you guys, especially losing Stone so suddenly and long before he should have?
I mean, and like Corey said, it only goes to show he's a hero for making that decision. There was no second thought. That first, and it must have been Friday evening, we both looked at each other and as like the mention of it, and it was like, we're doing it. That's what he wanted. Just the knowing he's living on, and I hope someday that, you know, we can meet the recipients. It's huge. I mean, that's helped us get through it. It's helped me get through it, knowing that he's done this.
At the end, before Stone was removed from the life support machine, we start to look for wins. And knowing that his heartbeat reached a level that it could be donated was a win. Knowing that his sodium level for his blood count was below the 50 was a win. So we started to look for the wins. I'd just like for those parents to understand the pain I'm going through. My last conversation with Stone was a week prior to that, just through a simple text telling him that he should watch Top of the Class documentary about LeBron James's son. If I would have known I was not going to be able to see or talk to Stone a week from then, I would have made a trip to Bowling Green to tell him I love him, to talk to him. But, you know, as a dad thing, sometimes you get caught up where you just know that your kids love you. But if you knew that it's going to end.
Don't know it's going to happen. Of course, you have all that guilt. I mean, what if I would have picked up the phone at 10 o'clock and did what I said I was going to do?
So 700 people.
I have to live with that for the rest of my life. But I also know in the 20 years that Stone's been here, he's lived his life and he did what he was supposed to do. Does that take away the pain I'm feeling? Absolutely not. Does that take away the anger that I have for these kids? Absolutely not. Do I want justice? Yes. Do I forgive them? Yes. Will I forget? No. Not until this is stopped. I won't. And I need those parents of those kids, I need them to take ownership. I need them to come forward and say what happened that night. Because otherwise, you know, that's going to help with this case as far as explaining what went on. Otherwise, if they don't do that, how are you going to live the rest of your life? Knowing you didn't speak up, knowing what went on, knowing about these rituals, being told by a president of the fraternity or a big brother that, hey, you need to be quiet, don't give all the details. How can you live with yourself? Take ownership. And the parents of those kids, they need to be in our spot.